a place of perfect rest in the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. All is well. All is well. We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well. There is a place, a perfect rest beyond the veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we could gather around your word again today. Lord, knowing that it's where we draw life, Lord, from there. And Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, is here with us. You said if two or three be gathered together, there are you in the midst. Lord, how wonderful it is to just take a hold of your promises and believe them, Lord. Not question them, not reason them out, just believe them, Lord. And so thankful we can do the word the same way. And we pray you'll help us this morning. Feed us, Lord, from your bountiful supply. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. There's a lot of quotes there this morning, but I couldn't cut anymore. I had one thought there that I wanted to get after, and so I didn't want to. I did cut a bunch out, so we'll catch the rest of it in another service or two, but I had another quote too that I found just a few minutes ago while I'm sitting in here, and I felt like, I mean, we've read this quote I don't know how many times, but in light of what I was going to bring this morning, I saw something else in the quote that I had not saw before. And this is in Ephesians. It's the one where Brother Brown says that to give himself reason and purpose of being, that quote. I just took a little snippet of it. It's from the Ephesians Church Age book. God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. If there was not a man who needed salvation, God could not have reason and purpose of being. Think about that. It had to be for God to be expressed, because that's what his reason and purpose of being was a Savior, in order for him to be expressed. Now, we know that. Everybody knows that. We've read that 100 times. And then Brother Ram says, that is 100% correct, and multitudes of Scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him. Who's the him in here? Christ. Are all things. All things are there. That's where God's whole purpose and reason of being is right, tied up in Christ. Because that Christ is the revelation of God. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Remember that? Those messages. Alright, so to are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. And then look where he goes directly. After he made that statement about God having to his reason and purpose being tied to being a Savior. God expressing himself as Savior is tied directly to him having purpose and reason of being. It's tied directly. You can't have one without the other. And he's made it very clear. And look where he goes directly, where he goes. Man could not directly come and partake of the tree of life. He goes right straight there. And look at the words he uses. man could not directly come. Because God had done told him to come. And that has to happen. Brother Ram said, when God says something, it has to happen. And so he said he could not directly come. Just think about that. He could not directly come and partake of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. The eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. And that sums it up. I mean, that's the whole thing. And so I won't. Well, I mean, it's not the whole thing because we're tied up in there. But you know what I'm saying. There's so much more to what we're looking at here besides that. And so God's purpose in being was directly tied to how man was going to come to that tree. You see that? It's what he just said. How? And what did he say when we read in the first of those services? We read where he said that, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous this morning. My hands are shaking. But he said directly, he said, to he that overcomes will I give to sit with me in my throne. To he that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life. Go read those. He gave one to each church age. To he that overcomes, to he that overcomes. As Christ is walking in the midst, he's making these promises to them through his prophets, through the message, through the messengers. And the whole time he's doing that, he's saying those things to them. He's making it clear who's going to, he that overcomes. And then at the very end, what does he tell us? You overcome by him. So you can't have any of those things that he listed out through the church ages, the tree, sitting in the throne, all those things. You can't have any of those things without having it in him. And you can't directly come to the tree. Even before he fell, he could not directly come. God had done predestinated it to not happen. Because we can look back and we can see what happened. And if we look back and we see what happened, the prophet explained to us exactly what happened. If we look back and we see what happened, and when we look at that, we think, oh, well, God just had to make a decision here so he could do this because that happened. No, every last thing that happened, he knew it and had already foreordained the road and the path through it. And had not only that, knew what each one would do where he put them. He knew what Cain would do and he put him where he put him. He knew what each one of them would do. And each one of them would twist and turn. And he knew, I need that twist right there. I put it right there. This is going to happen here. I put this right here. And so, I mean, he knew exactly what was going to come out. So, that is how we overcome. We're going to overcome because of him. And you overcome. When you overcome, that entitles you to eternal life. We talk about the token this morning. I don't know if you read the quotes or not, but that song you were singing, well, we're going to get on that. Yeah. Your name and where your name was and these sort of things. But I just can't get past how beautiful the message is. So how was he going to do that? Have a man that needed salvation to have purpose in being. So let's look at the message, and we're going to start in who is Melchizedek, because I wanted to review a few things we read there at the end, because all this that he wanted to be, he was this, he wanted to be that, he was that when he dwelled alone. God dwelled alone, and then when he created angels, he wasn't alone again anymore. So the angels were there already in his mind, and when they were in his mind, he dwelled alone. But then after he created him, he didn't dwell alone anymore. So I'm not going to tell you what that means, but that's what the prophet told us. Plain and simple. All right. So now, in the beginning, God dwelled alone with his attributes. As I spoke of this morning, that's his thoughts. There was nothing. Just God alone. But he had thoughts. Just like a great architect can sit down in his mind and draw out what he thinks he's going to build. Now, I'm just reviewing here, so y'all have those quotes, or you can go read them. Paragraph 48. Notice those who have tonight, eternal life was with him in him in his thinking. Before there was ever an angel, star, cherub, or anything else. That's eternal. And if you have eternal life, you always was. That thought of God, he always had that thought of you. And it was eternal. It was life eternal. Not your being here. What did he say? Not your being here. That's what not what was in God's mind. He was thinking of making that and bringing that to pass. You're going to find out today that whatever God does, Brother Branham said, God cannot do something and it not be him. It not be eternal. You listen. And if you have eternal life, you always was. Not your being here, but the shape and form that the infinite God. And we're just reviewing because we're going to hit more of this later on some of these other quotes here. And remember, your eyes, your stature, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. So all of you was there. Your flesh was there. Brother Abraham said all his hairs were there. All your eyes were there. Everything was there. And the only thing that you are is the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. And yet, Brother Branham said in this very same message that we'd not become the Word yet. Is he double speaking? Because he just said, after he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. So let's see. Let's see what he's talking about. Now we find him at the beginning, his attributes. And now you were with him then. Then is when the book of life come into view. When you were in his attributes, that's when the book of life come into view. Think of it. Before Jesus was ever born, 4,000 years before he came on earth, and several thousand years before you come on earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world, and the book of life was made. And was it sealed? What the Bible says, what Brother Ram said us, told us a bunch of times, that was made and it was sealed. And your name was put on that book of life before the foundation of the world. That's the Bible truth. See, your name was ordained of God and placed on the book of life before the foundation of the world. Your name, you was sealed up in that book. And who was, and the only way that you could be interpreted, brought to pass, was what? If the book was unsealed. And the only way to unseal it was for somebody to come and take it who was worthy. And there was only one ordained to be worthy. See, your name was ordained because we just went and read that man could not directly come and take of it, right? So could Adam come and take of it? God told him he could, but he knew he wasn't going to be able to do it. No, he just leave it there. See, your name was ordained. Why was Adam not able to do it? Just don't leave it. Why was Adam not? Because God made it so he wasn't able to. It was predestinated that Adam wouldn't. Because Adam was predestinated to fall. I don't know how else you could do it. He was predestinated to fall because he was predestinated to life in Christ. Okay, that was the seed. There's one seed, Christ, and we're in that one seed. See, your name was ordained of God. Now, I'm laboring on these things because once you realize exactly what happened there, then and only then can you realize exactly what's happening now. Otherwise, you got all these other ideas. And Brother Branham said all these other ideas will not produce God. And we can't have a bunch of other ideas. We have to have what the prophet told us. Okay, so that's why I'm laboring on these things. See, your name was ordained of God and placed on the book of life before the foundation of the world. Now, was Adam's on there too? Absolutely. So how could Adam's name be red if it was on the Lamb's Book of Life until the Lamb come? How could Adam have life of the Lamb until the life of the Lamb came and was made available? That's just as plain as I know how to make it. The prophet told us that. All right, so I'm going to drop back in 62 here. Brother Branham really started laboring on something in 62. Spoken when he wrote, when he said, preach the messages, spoken words, the original seed, he started hitting on some things. And so I wanted to show you what he started carrying on and on here. But the true prophet, how you'll mark him, he will stay with the word always. That's exactly what Micah did, done. He stayed exactly with the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord, he knowed it was the word. It come to the prophet. Now we feel religious, see? The word of the Lord, it stands no matter what goes on. Churches rise, fall. People rise, fall. Everything else rise, fall. But God's word will never fall, for it's God. It's God in printed form. That's right. That's the reason you have eternal life. Everything had a beginning, has an end. So if you had a beginning, if all these people that will be cast into the lake of fire at the end, they all had beginnings. They all began in the perversion there, where you didn't. You began in God's mind. You didn't begin. Brother Branham will explain it. Everything had a beginning, has an end. If you have a beginning, you have an end. That's why this thing, it has a beginning, and it's going to have an end. It's why that other soul, it had a beginning, so it's going to have an end. If you have a beginning, you have an end. That's the reason this body has to die. It had a beginning. Why does it have a beginning? Because it started because of sin. That's why. And sin was not in God's mind. Without sin was in God's mind. But the soul that's in you, dot, 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 and if you go look at the new message, they took the dot, dot, dot out, and it's just a comma. That soul that's in you, if it's God, the Holy Spirit, in you, what is it? It's God's premeditated thought. If the soul in you is God, then it's God's premeditated thought. He thought about it before. What is the word? Is a thought expressed. See? And God, before there was a world, had you in mind. Amen? He had a church in mind. Sure. Now, going on in 64, on the message, presuming, I might miss your hand, but he don't. He's infinite. He knowed every gnat would be on the earth before the earth was created. How many times it bat his eyes. And how much tallow he'd make. Sure, it's God's spoken word. Every bit of it. He knows. He's infinite. He knows what? Infinite. The word came from infinite. The word came from infinite. So the thought, and then it was expressed. You see what he's saying? See, it's just infinite. There's no explaining to it. You can't explain it. It's eternal. He's eternal. He knows everything, even a thought. Every thought you'd ever think. He knowed it before you was ever born. That's the reason by foreknowledge he could predestinate. Because he knew every thought you would ever think, he could predestinate. You see that? I mean, he knows what you're going to do. He can make it all work to his glory. All right, so going down in 62. This is in July. See, a word is a thought expressed. And when God thinks anything in his mind, and then expresses it, it's eternal. What he expresses is eternal. Because why? What he expressed didn't have a beginning. It's part of him. It's just something he's doing. I mean, you think about that in your own life, the things that we do. If Michael walks up and hugs Martha, then Michael has just shown what was in Michael. It was in Michael all that time, but nobody could see it. Martha couldn't know what his arm felt like on her shoulder. He couldn't do it. But then Martha knew, and then Michael knew. See, but then before that, it was just in Michael's thought. I'm going to go put my arm around Martha. See, it's just, that's God made us like him so we could understand him. And that's why Brother Branham is bringing this. Brother Branham said the natural always types the spiritual. And when God thinks anything in his mind, and then when he expresses it, it's eternal. Because no man is any better. Now, before we move off of that, you need to realize you don't need to interpret that. Anything's in his mind, and then when he expresses it, it's eternal. Okay? Because when God expresses something, it's finished. Up until that point, he's expressing it, but then when it's expressed, it's done. If Martha decides she's going to go make a dress, she's thought about it, she went and got the materials, and she's cutting it out. It's not expressed yet. Until she can put it on and wear it, she's still expressing it. She's still cutting the pieces out. She's still sewing the pieces together. You know what I'm saying, okay? So that's what he's saying. Because no man, and I'm not going to just leave it there and let you have my interpretation. You just keep listening. Because no man is any better than his word. And God is eternal. And his word is eternal with him because it's part of him. And you're a part of your own word. You are part of your own word. That's why it's so uncharacteristic of a Christian to say he's going to do something and then he doesn't do it. See, because God's not like that. Because it's part of him. And you're part of your own word. And God is part of his own word. Now, I can say anything, or a nation can say anything. In a year or two, they'll keep improving it. But God is perfect in his first decision. He cannot change it anymore because it's perfect. Because God would not do anything unless it was perfect. And I know that I've heard people take that right there and run with it with all kinds of interpretations. But let's just let the prophet interpret, okay? Because God could not do anything unless it was perfect. All right, so we're moving on. Same, it's a different little message here, Jehovah Jireh. If I love Christ, it'd be a lot more better for me to brag on his church than it would be brag on him. Because I'd rather you'd brag on my children than brag on me. Remember, I've often thought, if I had 2 drops of the literal blood of Jesus in a charger, how would I hold that I didn't spill it? I'd walk real careful. But tonight, I got greater than that in his sight. I got the purchased of his blood. See, he shed his blood for you. And here I am as a minister tonight, holding and pointing you to your eternal destination. So there was a place that you were destined to be eternally. That's where he's pointing you to, that destination. God predestinated us to eternal life. So I'm not going to refer to any creed or any dogma, because he's holding these souls of these people precious. They're God's people. So I'm not going to refer to any creed or any dogma. It's got to be the word, because that's the thing that's going to last. My faith is built on the word. And Christ is the Word. And if Christ was made the Word, then the Word is made manifest right among us. See, it's got to be. All right, so it's dropping on into investments. And this is, we're coming into 63 here. But looky here. This is first, of course, the Word of God. Now, let us examine some of the policyholders of this eternal life and see what it cost them, holders of the eternal Word. Oh, Brother Branham, you said eternal Word. Yes, sir. Eternal never did begin. Eternal has no end. And a word is a thought expressed. That was God's thinking before there was a world or a star or a moon or anything. That was God's thinking what he would do. He'd not already done it. I mean, we know we say that because it's in God, he's purposed something. It's going to happen. But he's saying that it has to be done too. That's where a lot of people misconstrue the word. When you're talking about, when you start talking about thought and word and expression, then this is where the problem starts to come here. That was God's thinking what he would do. And when he spoke the word, it's eternal. Because he can produce nothing but something eternal. So when he spoke the word before the foundation of the world, he said, let there be light. Then it has to happen. Let there be this. Let there be that. That's the only way we have eternal life. Is when we get rid of this perverted life and get eternal life. So somewhere along the line, there was a life and it got perverted. And then we get this eternal life. That's God, Zoe, the Word, right in you. And when the Word comes right through you, and then the Word comes right through you and manifests itself. And that's this Jesus, this rich fellow scene, that this Jesus could stand there. I'm sorry. That's what this rich fellow scene, that this Jesus could stand there and he identified the scriptures. So there's the rich young ruler. He saw that. Jesus said himself, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that say who I am. The scriptures say who I am. They're the one that testify of me, see? But they had it so created up, like we have today, till they couldn't see it. See, that's what keeps us from having eternal life, is so created up. And that's why God has to come clean the weeds out and give you real truth before we can have life. And that's what the prophet was for in this day, that message. When you receive eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. That's the Greek word Zoe. Is that right, brother? Zoe, God's own life. So you, being a son, you become part of that life. So the life that's in you never did begin and it never can end. Think of it. Now we just read where he said you was always in him. So how could you become part of the life? How can you become part of the life if you already was in him all the time? See how those words, they confuse people and they make people think, oh, well, then all of a sudden I get it. But he's talking about a manifestation. When you were a thought, you were life. When you were a word, you were life. It's when we come down to manifesting the word, there's where the problems started in the garden. And we're going to get to that. And when you become part of that life is when you stop being the perverted life and you become the other life. So that's what you was ordained to be. So the life that's in you never did begin, and it never can end. Think of it. It can't end, because anything that's eternal never began. The life that's in you never did begin. That is, if you got eternal life. And that's God, for you was in his thought from the eternal. See? The life that you're getting is the thought that he had of you. And how it's expressed here in a human being for his glory. Right? Jesus came to redeem that. What did he come to redeem? He came to take you because you don't look like his thought. And to take you and make you his thought. That's what he was doing in the garden when it fell. And we're going to read that this morning. He was making them look like his thought. Was they in their theophany? Nope. Was they in their glorified body? Nope. Was there a tree of sin there in the garden? Yes. So the garden wasn't like what God had in his end thought. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't what he, when one day when we're standing on the new heavens and the new earth, it won't be looking like that. And that is what God is going to express. That's when the seed will be expressed. It's been expressing all the time. See, that's the thing. When you start talking about God expressing himself, because he allotted word for all of his age. But even though he allotted the word for all those ages, that was not the fullness. He was going to the fullness. It was the fullness for that age, but it was not the fullness. It wasn't the whole thought that he had of his church. It's expressed here in a human being for his glory. Jesus came to redeem that. Being the Son, the fullness of God had to come and become that. The sinless character of God did that he might redeem those other thoughts. What's he redeeming? The thoughts. Well, there's nothing wrong with these thoughts. So what is he talking about? The ones that have been expressed from that, and they're not like his thoughts. They're lost out here. The thought never went nowhere. You can't mess up God's word. So what happened? So just keep thinking about it, because we're going to read it in just a minute. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. That he might redeem these other thoughts that was to come to him to make a wife. See what I mean? Oh, it's a glorious story. We ain't oughtn't to read on, get on that anyhow. Let's go on. All right, so when their eyes were opened, and as I said last evening, God has lauded that. His scripture from the beginning, before there was any time, when he was eternal, he is the eternal one. And then these things that's happened now are only the attributes of God's thinking. So all along, when you see this Moses prop up, you see this prophet Moses pop up, and you see him go out on the backside of the desert and get all of him out. Then you see God coming and to the people. And you see the people, God in the people who come to him. And so that's what he's talking about. But that wasn't the whole word of God. None of them were the whole full expression of God. That's why he called things types and called them in part. And said he couldn't be the sacrifice in any of them but Jesus. He could be Moses and Moses, and Noah and Noah, and Abraham and Abraham, but he could only be Jesus, which was the fullness, because there he could feel it. There he could be everything. He could be the expressed image of God. And then these things that have happened now are only the attributes of God's thinking. At first, it has to be a thought and then a word. At first, it has to be a thought. And then a word. And a word, when a thought expressed is a word, and that when a thought expressed is a word, and then it's spoken, it has to happen. And the whole thing is God unfolding himself in his attributes, and then God being made material, tangible, what we can talk to, speak with, in his whole church body and everything. You see that? See what? Don't miss what he's saying. And you know, all those messages Brother Holmes brought on Elohim materializing. Yeah, that's what does all this is. has all to do with that. His attributes, and then God being made material, tangible, that we can talk to, speak with, in his whole church body and everything. Therefore, remember what he said a while ago when he said he talked about the blood-bought ones and how precious they were, more precious than the actual blood, he said, because that's what he bought. Therefore, your name was in his thinking. That's how you have eternal life. You can't have it no other way. Because your name was in his thinking, you can't have eternal life no other way than the way he thought about it being. And what happened before the foundation of the world? He ordained you on the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't have it no other way. If you got eternal life, you always was. See? If everything otherwise, you know, if otherwise, you just can't say, well, I belong to the church, I do this. No, sir. Eternal life never had anything that has eternal never did begin and cannot end. So you was only in his thinking, your name, who you are and what you are. That's what was in his thinking. That's the only way you could ever have eternal life, because you always was. And those, no matter what they are eternally dead. They were dead from the beginning. Now he's talking about the others that turned him down. The Bible said the woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she is alive, right? She's always been dead. She's dead in sin and trespasses. And now if you were in the quickening at his beginning, that's what he come to redeem. Now, you think about that, it's a little odd. If you're in the quickening, if you're in his word, why does that need redeeming? Just keep thinking. Keep reading. Now, if you were in the quickening at his beginning, that's what he come to redeem. And you name, because he's got to bring you back to something, see? And what he's bringing you back to was not having a beginning. Your expression here, this thing has an end. So he's got to take it back and bring it to something that doesn't have an end. Now, if you were in the quickening at his beginning, that's where you come, what he come to redeem. And your name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life in his thinking at the beginning. And it was sealed up. And it came, he came to redeem all names that's in that book. No more, not one more. Just what was in there. When the last name is redeemed, he takes his book and claims what he has redeemed. Amen. And one thing that I think people don't realize is that judgment struck in every age. Brother Bram said a message went forth and they either accepted it or rejected it, and then a plague was dropped. And it was judgment on those who turned it down. And so Brother Bram said that first seal was opened. When that first seal was opened, he had to leave the mercy seat to open that seal. You see what I'm saying? Everybody thinks that he waited till the end of the seven church ages, and then he went and got the book, and then he opened all the seals. But that's not what happened. It was one big act that was taking place. He was going and getting the book. He was leaving the sanctuary the whole time. But he'd not left the sanctuary. He'd not opened the book all the way till the end of the church ages. We'll talk about that again sometime. But I wanted to mention that because right here he says the last name, when the last name is redeemed, he takes his book and claims what he's redeemed. Now, what a strange thing it would be if we couldn't believe all that's written in the scripture. And he's being sarcastic here. What a strange thing it would be if we couldn't believe all that's written in the scripture, for the whole thing is God's word. It's all inspired, every bit of it, and we believe every bit of it. Now, this glorious scene that we have before us tonight is Jesus up from the dead in a springtime walking around. That's the glorious scene we have before us tonight, he's telling them. Up from the spring, the resurrection, the first flower to rise from the dead, our Lord Jesus. He was the first fruits of them that slept. The Easter flower that come up, the first one that stuck its head up after the cold midnight of darkness and sin. He had paid the sin price and God raised him up on the third day. We believe that with all of our heart, that God raised him up on the third day according to his promise. And we believe it according to the scripture that he raised him up the third day. Because the scripture says it, that's why we believe it. Now, that's a real surface reading of that thing. But what did we say the scripture was? It is, Brother Bram said, it's a living foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And so when you believe it, because it's written, that's something spiritual that's taking place. It's not some intellectual something people say out here. That he raised him up the third day. He was the first one that raised up from the dead. The first fruits of the one that slept. And to think of it, that great distress through 4,000 years that the world had groped in sin and knowed not the way out. Here he is back from the dead. What a time, a springtime. The church ought to have been singing the glorious hallelujahs. But instead of that, they were moping around, sad and everything, because they failed to believe all he said. Who's he talking about? Those on the road to Emmaus, they was moping. Those other ones were weeping and crying and things because they failed to believe all he'd said. I mean, they even wrote in the scripture where it said, you destroy this body, temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. They wrote that down. They wrote it down. And yet here it was taking place and they missed it. That's why he's saying it's the same thing it is tonight because they fail to believe all that he said and promised. That's what the church is in such a condition tonight. That it's because we have failed to believe all that he said he would do. All the scriptures that pertain to him, we fail to believe it. We bang it around, mix it up, put something else to it. And that's why they're in the condition that they're in. That's why they were crying instead of rejoicing at what was taking place. Amen. If we believe the whole thing, listen to what he says. If we believe the whole thing, there would be a spring of joy in our souls because we are raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. If we believe the whole thing, we'd realize what's taking place and we'd be in it. Now, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with all principalities and powers and darkness under our feet, we have a right with the blood of Jesus Christ, our token, that we are purchased of God, that God has paid our redemption through Jesus Christ. So when did he pay for it? Way back there. He paid for it way back. Brother Bram said as soon as he bowed his head and said it was finished, it was finished. God has paid our redemption through Jesus Christ, and we have a right to hold that token over anything that we ask and receive it. You hear what he said? You have the right to hold that token over anything that we ask and receive it. And what did Paul do? Paul waited till God told him to ask. That's where people leave it off. They just go out here and they start claiming whatever they want. And that's what he's talking about. They bang it and beat it around. They start trying to interpret it. Brother Branham prayed and prayed for months before Meaty was going to get that operation on the tumor. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he say, I have to write to put the token over this and I asked for it and I got it. Just like that. Why didn't he do that? He waited. And then when the Holy Spirit told him what to say, he said it. That's the problem. People want to just go off and do it themselves. Right? That's the thing that's caused the whole mess to begin with. It causes all kinds of little messes when we do it. God said so. That settles it. If we could just believe all the scriptures. See, if we could just believe all the scriptures, then what we need for would come out of us. It would just ask out of us what we need for. Right when he wanted it. Right as he would deem it was time. It would just come. We wouldn't have to think about it. Brother Bram said you wouldn't have to put thought to it. You just live. Brother Bram said we just watch and pray and continue on. That's what he done. That's what happened with Sister Meany. And that's what happens all the time. God drops by grace into your heart, Brother Bram said, that faith. All right, and next one here, still in 64. In the beginning, God was not even God. He was the great eternal, and in there was attributes. Attributes was his thoughts. And when he became a word like this, and a word expressed, a thought expressed is a word. A word expressed is a thought. See how he turned that around? And then remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you was ever in his thinking, then you'll always be in his thinking. If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. When he's come to you and he's brought you to the word of this age, then you become a testimony. Every one of those that Caleb and Joshua who followed Moses, followed Moses, they were the two. God had shown them who he was, no matter what. And in every age, it's been the same way. Eternal life, you are the expression or attribute of his thought for this age. He'd allotted it out, he said. If not, there's only one eternal life, and it's always existed. And you, in his mind, existed before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It wasn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It wasn't what we think. It wasn't what somebody else thinks. It's what God eternal you always was, see, in his thinking. Because he knew everything that you was going to think, he could predestinate. Now, remember what we said the other night about him being omniscient? He's omnipresent because he's omniscient. He knew every thought everyone was going to make. It was in him to be man. That's the reason Christ was the expressed image. It was in him to be man. That's the reason Christ. Because it was in him to be man. That's the reason that Christ was the expressed image. Because of that. And because you're in him, what's that going to make you? It's got to happen the same, brother, sister. You're a part of Christ. He expressed Christ so he could express us. That's what the whole message, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, is about. He come and brought Jesus so he could take the bride. It was in him to be man. That's the reason Christ was the expressed image, see? Now he was to be Father, was to be. He had it in him to be a father, but he wasn't a father yet. He potentially was a father. And in God, if he has potential, he's going to be a father. It's already in him to do it. He's going to do it. But he's using the word was to be, not me. He was to be Father. He was to be Son. He was to be Savior. He was to be Healer. There was nothing. There wasn't even an angel or nothing. Now, and remember what he said when he's saying all these things about was to be, was to be, was to be, was to be. He is those things. And he was to be. Michael, what we said a while ago, Michael had in his heart to go hug Martha. Okay? He's not hugged Martha yet. but he has in his heart to go hug her. And we haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. Martha hasn't known it. It's not been known. See? Not that Martha. Yeah, never mind. My examples ain't the best sometimes. I'm sorry, but y'all get it. Yeah. So my brain is not so great. You know? Now, he was to be father. I read all those. There was nothing. There wasn't even an angel or nothing. And see, that's the thing. We have to take both of those. Was to be and is. Because that's what the scripture says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was nothing. There wasn't even an angel or nothing. Then he created angels. Then he became God. He was worshipped. Then these are the manifestations of his thinking. Amen. There's nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. God's big time piece is ticking right along. It'll be there. It'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It was in his thinking. What he had in his thinking, he couldn't express it. He started expressing it in the garden, and before it was finished, and I'm going to read that to you in just a minute. I'm not going to keep just saying that. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. Then something happened. The thing of it is, am I in there? Are you in there? And here he was, the eternal thought of God expressed into sonship. Oh my, there was God Emmanuel then. Notice, then he was the Word. Now notice in this, when Jesus come, here comes Simon up and walking up before him. And as soon as Jesus laid eyes upon him, he said, your name's Simon. You're the son of Jonas. Oh, did that set that fisherman's heart on fire. A stranger walks up out of nowhere and says, your name is so-and-so and your daddy's name is so-and-so. Why would that set his soul on fire? He couldn't even write his own name. He had no education, but he knew that was the Word. He knew that was the Word. Because it's discerned the thoughts that was in his heart. Now, think about this message title. What is it? I forgot what it was myself. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Amen. Oh, did that set that fisherman's heart on fire? He couldn't even write his own name. He had no education, but he knew that was the Word. When that Word was spoke to him, Simon, you're Simon, and your daddy's name was Jonas. That struck something. That was the Word speaking to the Word. But he knew that was the Word because it discerned thoughts that was in his heart. There was the Messiah. Though the Bible said he was both ignorant and unlearned, but he became the head of the church of Jerusalem. He fell down at his feet. He knew that that was. Not only did he know who he was, he knowed that godly old father of his that was gone on. Not only did this man know Peter, but he also knowed his daddy. See, that showed that he was the Word. To Peter, that showed he was the Word. To the bells, to the priest and the Pharisees, that didn't show nothing. That was a good guess. That was a lucky guess. Somebody told him that before he got down there. That showed that he was the Word. The Word discerns the thoughts that's in their hearts. What showed that he was the Word? That it discerned the thoughts. What did we see before us? And how could that not show us that that's the Word? But it's to people, he's all kinds of levels lower or just below or something. That's exactly what Jesus looked upon them and perceived their thoughts, see? And that the Bible said the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He made him, that made him the Word. Because he was doing what the Word said the Messiah would do, that made him the Messiah. It made him the Word. That master prophet,
that God prophet, more than a prophet. He, all the prophets, was plus the rest of God. See? He was Emmanuel, God represented in fullness in the Son, Christ Jesus. How we find God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself.
All right, so now what I told you I was going to read you, we're going to read you. This is a little bit of a long reading here, but stay with me. Now, the great creator had placed his created son, and if you ever have a chance to listen to this message sometime, it's really good. Now, Adam was his first created son. Jesus was his only begotten son. He was begotten by a woman, but Adam was right straight from the hand of God in the creation. So he's setting the scene here for us in Eden. Now, the headquarters with his son and his son's bride, overall, it looked so perfect. It looked so perfect with the tree there in the garden. I've done said all these things before. Y'all know what I'm, what it's. But to God, that was perfect. That's exactly what he needed, because there had to be a man. He was predestinating a man to need salvation. There was a man, the head of it all, his own son and his bride. And every seed was perfect. Every seed was perfect. The palms and the oaks and the grass and the birds and the animals, everything was in perfect order with the commandment of God. What was the commandment of God? So we know what they're in perfect order with. Don't change your nature. So nothing was changing its nature. Bring forth of its kind every seed. So it was bringing forth. Oak, don't you never be perverted into a pawpaw tree. See? Palm, don't you be perverted into something else. But every seed after his kind. And he had watched it through the times. So God had watched it after he'd spoken it. And he had spoke the word, and his great creating power had formed these things that come up. And even the man and the woman. And they were the head because they were super to all the other races. And he put them also under care of the same thing he put the trees and animals and so forth. His word. So he put them under the care of his word. He said, I told the palm not to change. So he told the man and woman, don't change. So the only one that can change is the man and woman. None of the animals could change. And in fact, to show that, God put all those animals, all creation, under Adam. Because when Adam and Eve fell, all the creation fell with them, because he was over them all. Otherwise, it'd just been the man and the woman fell. And he put them also under a care of the same thing that he put the trees and animals and so forth, his word. They must not never, by no means, break that word. They must stay there. Don't never take anything from it or add anything to it. You must live by this word. That's what Brother Branham said, was holding it right where it was at. Not only was it holding it right where it was at, but watch what else he says. As long as that creation would have existed like that, Sister Shakarian wouldn't have had to went this morning. As long as it would have stayed like that. So it wouldn't have been no death if it had stayed like that. But it couldn't stay like that. It was not in God's ordained plan to stay like that. As long as it would have stayed like that, God's great economy, it's what we believe that we're headed back to. We're headed back to us staying right there in that word. Because that's where he told them. That's where he started, right? He put them under the word. We're going back to that spot, that place, where that seventh morning, when God looked upon it all, and he said, it's good. I'm pleased with it. Yeah, I am glad I did it. And it's all now under control. It's all now under control of what? His son. I've put my trust in my son and his wife that they will make them head of all of it, that they will watch over it and see that it's all right. I've put it in their hands now. I've brought creation to this point right here, and now I've stopped and I've given it to him. That's what he done. That's what he said. It all hinged
on what Adam and Eve was going to do. That everything will bring forth of its kind. See, that's what he said. See that it's right, and that everything will bring forth of its kind. Now, he has power to do that. God said. God then said. So Adam, he said, had power to do that. Sorry, my nose is running. God then said, well, if it's all so good, and it can't be anything else because it's my own desire. Right there was his own desire. But we also know that his desire was to give life by Jesus Christ. So this must be tied together because he doesn't have two different desires. Because it's my own desire, that's the way I want it, and I have spoke it that way, and my words have brought it just exactly the way I wanted it. Yet they weren't in your theophany. They weren't in it. So it isn't that it hasn't been exactly what he wanted. You see what I'm saying? It isn't that it hasn't been exactly what he wanted. That's exactly what he wanted. At that time. Because over here, we're going to have a theophany. We're going to have a glorified body. And if that wasn't the eternal thought in God's mind that he was going to, and there's one seed, remember? One. And there it is. It's all good. So the Bible said God rested the seventh day from his works. He rested. And now listen to what he says. Everything under control to bring forth of its kind. Everything was in control to bring forth of its kind. Doesn't matter if it falls. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's going to bring forth of its kind. And God had already ordained that to bring forth Jesus Christ. That scene that he set in that garden was there perfectly set to bring forth Jesus Christ. Now remember, to bring. And when he put the seed in the earth, the seed can only come forth with the power of life that's within it. See, if you put a what kind of corn is that, Martha, that we like so good? Incredible corn. If you put an incredible corn seed in the ground and you don't put no water on it or nothing, just let it sit there, it's not coming forth. It needs sun and it needs water to come forth. But when it does, it's going to come forth with what is in it. The sun and the water don't put it in it. The sun and the water brings forth what's in it. But it takes both. Now remember, to bring. When he put the seed in the earth, the seed can only come forth with the power of life within it to transform it from the seed to a plant or whatever it was. His transforming power. And God put the seed in there with potentials that it would be what he said it would be. So now, God's thought is always going to be God's thought. God's word, when he spoke it, it was God's thought spoken. That's not going to change. So he put it in here and it has the potentials. Now, when we think about potentials, don't get messed up on that. Because when we think about potentials, it might happen, it might not. It's got a good potential. You know, we think about in potentials like investments and stuff like that. But that's not what he's talking about here. When he says it has potentials, it's God spoke it. It's got to be. He put the seed in there with potentials that it would be what he said it would be. And as long as it stayed in its right category, it would be just exactly what God said it would be. If that seed stayed in that category, it would be exactly what he said it would be. It had to be that way because he had made it that way and made a channel. That anything that stays in his channel, in his line of word, it will have to bring forth exactly like the word said it would do. And man is the only one can change now. Does he stay under there or not? Does he? No, we know he doesn't. But that was the question. He was saying,
that was the question he gave man. Are you going to stay under it or not? And he knew the way he had it set up, he wasn't. It cannot move from there. It's channeled just exactly right. So without everything, with everything in the trust in his own son, that it would be that way. Trusted in his own son that it would be that way. Then God said, it's all good, so I'll just rest. And each one of those seeds has power in itself to transform itself into the species that I desire it to be. That's what it must be. Why is he talking about present tense? Over and over, I mean, not present tense, future tense. He's talking about future tense over and over and over. To be. What I desire it to be. What it must be. I've given it the power to make itself into this. It has potentials now to make out of itself exactly what I want it to be. Over and over, to be, to bring, all these things. So it's got to happen. God spoke it. It's got to happen. God has never changed. Just the same today as it was then. He was then. God is determined to do something. He'll do it. Nothing is going to stop him. He'll do it. So he was going to bring that seed to life. And he had a way he was going to bring it to life. Now, after it's all so well and set in order, God felt sure that this would all be all right. And then he did. When he did, he came. Then came in the enemy. God have gave power to transform. And I'm going to call this fellow with power not to create. He had power to deform. Not transform, but to deform. God's power is transforming, bringing it forth, but his is deform. He can't create. Now, anything deformed is taken from its original state. Now, this is where I think a lot of people get hung up, right here. The original state, they think, was absolutely finished and God was done. And nowhere in here does it say that. Nowhere. You find me somewhere where it said Adam was finished. And Eve was finished. The garden was finished. Everything was done. It's not there. There is something that's gone wrong with it. Some years ago, on patrol, going up through the cornfields, I would think of it, there was a limb. Now, he's going to tell us what happened in the garden. He's giving us an example so we'll understand. I could think of it. There was a limb that blowed off of a tree, and it had fell over on a stalk of corn. And the stalk was trying its best to get up straight like it was supposed to be. But it was deformed because something had happened, and the stick had fallen on it. So that seed couldn't bring forth what it was supposed to bring forth because something had fell on it, and it brought something deformed forth. Then we find a wild creeper in the field. Which many of you men here, and maybe some of you women, if you come from Kentucky, the woman uses the hoe there, same as the man. Get out there in the field with a hoe. We call the old gooseneck hoe and chop the creepers out. And if you didn't get those creepers out, then the corn was in the row like this, then the creeper would reach over, grab a hold of the corn, wrap itself around it gradually, so easy, so slyly, that you would hardly tell it was wrapping. Now, look what's in both of these examples. He's pointing out something that the seed was bringing forth that got deformed. It was not the seed itself, but he keeps saying they deformed the seeds. And he'll say that more in there. But he's, in his examples, he's pointing out what got deformed was what was coming out of the seed. And finally, it gets stronger and stronger, and it pulls the corn over till it deforms it. Pulls it against itself. Wraps it around its own vine, deforming it from what it was to something else. Yet it's corn, but it's deformed corn. And so God placed Adam and Eve there in the garden, and they were given a choice.
to accept the word and bring it forth, or accept the lie and bring it forth. And they accepted the lie. Eve, because she was deceived, and Adam, because he just openly disobeyed. But that changed them. Brother Branham said, if you go look up Adam's nature, you'll understand that old Adam nature. And we're still in the image of God. But what did he say? Still. Even though we're deformed, we're still in the image of God. So when people try to take being in the image of God back there and make it more, then take them and show them the rest of the word. Because you, if you don't take it all, you can have all kinds of, like Brother Ram said, beating and banging the word up and making it something that's not. And you, no life will come from that. No matter how little and small it is, no life will come from it. And we're still in the image of God. But some are so deformed as sons of God that walk, why are they deformed? They walk contrary to this word and the way that he had us and provided for us to walk, which is Christ. Just letting something, the world, twist us out of the way, pull us close to it and away from the straight and narrow strip that he planted us in to be sons and daughters of God. Sin has done this evil thing to the sons and daughters of God, the deformer. I know this seems rather strange to speak of it this way, to deform. And it does. It does seem strange, right? We talked about that. But that's what he was. He deformed or perverted. Pervert means to change over, made something different. So he had to start with something in order to make it something perverted. You can't pervert God's eternal life. I'm not going to explain this out, okay? I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm pointing it out, okay, as I go. But that's what he was. He deformed or perverted. Perverted means to be changed over, made something different. And that's what God told them not to do. He told them to stay in their channel. So evidently, they got out of their channel. And how did they get out of their channel? God made them in his image. They could, and they were the only ones with a soul. No other animal had a soul. They chose not to stay under the word. Prevent means pervert. Now, that's just what it said, okay? I'm not going to make something out of it. That's just what it says. Pervert means to be changed over, made something different. So it had to be something before, and now it's something different. God made it one way, Satan deformed it into something else. And the only way he could do it, we know how it happened. And the deform is the same thing that it's been brought over and deformed and made. What did he say? The deform is the same thing. What did he say a while ago about we're still in the image? The deform is the same thing that it's being brought over and deformed and made in another way. Still, yet it's still the same seed. But it's deformed. I'm not going to explain that, okay? I'm just going to point it out. If the Lord don't show it to you, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. But you know, I just pointed out the only way you can change, and the only person who could change was a man and a woman. They're the only ones that had a soul. Remember how the woman was made? Brother Ram said she was made, she could any time. But the animals were not. The woman could choose any time, but the animals couldn't. Natural always types the spiritual. That's what he said. Last Sunday, when we were going through this is in Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, I said I wasn't going to explain it, but I'm going to point it out further, okay? And last Sunday, when we was going into those cycles about how the five senses on the outer realm, that's the inlet, five senses to the body, there's only one way you can get into the body, that's those five senses. And he goes through those. There's no other way to contact the body but those five senses. On the inside of that man is man called spirit. And he has five senses. thought, love, conscience, so forth. All right? And you can't think with your body. You can't think with your mind. And in there is where too many Christians only stop. That inner man, the spirit, is where they stop. And they can, just like the corn in the field and the weed in the field, they can be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that the real believer is anointed with. But down on the inside of that next realm, the third realm, is the soul that's predestinated by God. There is where the real seed germ lays, is in there. Okay? And remember, if I'd take a cocoa burr and cut it open, draft into it the heart of a wheat and put it down in there and bury it, it would bring forth the wheat out of that cocoa burr, no matter what the outside is, what the emotions. Now, the same thing is this. If you are a son of God, and if I am a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. And when God and when Jesus become the fullness of the word, then we were in him germ form. So Jesus didn't have a bunch of people in him. But we were spiritually in Jesus at that point. Because that word in there, but I thought he said that the seed had in it to bring forth of what it was. And he talks about us having predestination in us. And he talked about that little woman when the word come by. And the word spoke to that little woman. He said it went down and struck that predestinated seed there. The spirit, life, Jesus was life, speaking, and it struck. And then see how it struck Peter. It struck life down in there. And that's what told Peter who he was. Same thing that he told the woman. You see what's taking place. The two coming together. And that's what was happening in the garden. God was bringing the two together, but it never came together. It started to produce, and then it fell apart. And so God has to bring it back and bring you back into the presence of God so he can bring forth what's in that seed. And that is what we got in this day, brother and sister. The presence of God, the Son, up. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, then we were in him germ form. When he was crucified, we was crucified in his body. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And now, since we have recognized it, now we sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We recognized him. He's recognized us. We, if we are sons and daughters of God, we are God's children, then we are attributes of God. Then we were got eternal life. And God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in him from the beginning. And when Jesus become all that word, we were part of him then. We were part of him then. And yet still there was a part down inside of you. The other William Branham. The other Michael Gabriel. And he's going to bring the two together in a minute. I'm just pointing it out. And when Jesus become all that word, you remember what Brother Branham always said about the Chinese laundry? Mm-hmm. Said you go to the laundry and he'd tear the ticket funny. And then when you come back, you had to put the two pieces together. And if it didn't fit, you didn't have a coat or whatever to pick up. And that's just what it is. The two pieces come back together. And when Jesus become all that word, when we were part of him then, when he become all that word, we were part of him then. So that means we became all the part of all the word too. Amen. There you are. When that's in there, there is no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it. That's the tie post of the soul. That life that God supplied us, that was us in Jesus Christ. That's the tie post of the soul. Amen. It's going to the rapture. Then, how do we get into this body? 1 Corinthians 12. One by one spirit, we're all baptized into this body. So the only way to get into this body
of Christ is to be baptized into it by His Spirit. But we were already in Him by one Holy Spirit baptism. That if you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And by one Spirit we are all baptized. And the Spirit is the life of Christ. So there's something to be baptized and there's something to do the baptizing. Is that right? The life of Christ and the life of any seed. Remember, they were in a channel. He gave them their word. Give them the word. Which He was the word seed. Brings the seed to life. You get it? If that life is laying in that seed. And the baptism. Now listen, did you hear what He said? Mm-hmm. If the life is laying in that seed. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes upon it. It's bound to bring that seed life. It has to be predestinated. It's predestinated to receive that Holy Spirit. And all it is God bringing His thought and His word and bringing it to pass. That's what He's doing. Notice now, women, they want to have bobbed hair. They want to wear shorts and paint and makeup. These little bikinis and things they wear nowadays. They want to do it and they want to go to church. You see that anointing upon the Spirit and not upon the soul. It's anointing on the Spirit, but not on the soul. Amen. And we got a lot more. I got a whole pile more. We got all of a bunch of Who is Melchizedek. We got a bunch more of this transforming seed to go through. But I thought that was more than enough for this morning. And I'm sorry if I went too fast there. But that's I just want you to get the point. The whole thing has been, we're facing the completion of let there be. God said, let there be. Those words, let there be, was the potential that was in every one of those seeds. All the grass and all these other, but it was the seed of God. Christ, the mystery of God, revealed. See, He was bringing it to pass all the time. And that's what's happening now. He's finished it. He's bringing it into being. We all come by the one Son, right? So we can't come any other way than by the one Son. And the Son is up, brother and sister. Not only did He put it in Jesus Christ, but He come back and put it in a man that was born by sin so that we might see, and it might tear the seals off and show us what God had intended. What did He say? He said, when you see that word, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, that is God. And everybody wants to make the prophet God, and then some don't want to make Him God, when it's right in the middle there. It's God making the prophet His indication, His interpretation. And when He done that, not with a man born without sin, that was the first step. The first step was without sin. Jesus, born of a woman, without sin. And then one born in sin, and He could do the same things in it. What a testimony that should have been to the world. He done this thing in a man not born in sin, and He done the same thing in a man born in sin. What we ought to have saw, the purchase bought us right there. What we should have saw. People should have saw. Now, I don't think we fully see it because we're not excluded. We were in Christ too. And He's showing us the Eliezer come to get the bride. What do you think the Eliezer came with? He came with the word of the Father to give it to him. My son needs a bride. I don't know how. It's so good. It's so good to be a part of it. And, let's stand. Let's pray. Father,
I'm so thankful, Lord, that your word, Lord, that you brought in this hour through the prophet. Lord, a lot of people might have saw a lot of stutters and a lot of what they thought was mistakes and mispronouncing words. But Lord, we saw you, and we see you more in it every single day. And Lord, we are so thankful for those things. Thankful, Lord, that you are bringing your word to pass. And we gladly, Lord, as Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. And gladly we are hearing, Lord. And we pray, Father, that we would never get in the way. That we would just be like that, surrendered, Lord. May you bless and keep us through the day, Lord. Keep us as we're going on the roads in different ways. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How about we sing that one? Gladly. Well, I guess that's a special. Somebody sings that, don't they? I don't know the words. Gladly I am hearing your word within me grows or something. Yeah, okay. We'll get that next time, maybe. Let's sing Jehovah Jireh. If I can find the words here. Michael, you'll have to lead us.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. You're more than enough. You're more.